Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we have with us here in studio Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing great. We had a couple of incidents take place recently, including you had a carjacking with, I'm sure I'm going to butcher this name, Parkardon Gandhi. Is that the suspect's name?
Well, yeah, there was a couple of people that were involved. That was one of them. It was the guy was wanted because he stole a car. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Because he stole a car. We tried to stop it. Had to pit it. That guy, Gandhi, tries to jump over the passenger. With the last name is Lane, I believe. And tries to get away. He doesn't get away. We capture
him. He tries
to
escape by fleeing through the passenger's door?
Yeah, I think that they were trying. We had it pitted, so we were on the driver's
door. Oh,
you were
on the other side.
So
okay,
they decided,
I got you.
But, you know, let's not go out that door.
Yeah.
Let's try to go out another door, and I guess he's not that good at it. He gets out of the car, but we catch him.
Okay.
Thereafter.
And he had other things or just?
Yeah, I believe he had a number of, let's see here, number of other warrants on him.
Okay.
And that's why he tried to flee on foot. But he was, as we said, quickly apprehended. His passenger, which was 38, the lady I mentioned before, Claudacious Lane, was also had active warrants from the Pensacola Police Department. She was also detained at the scene. So Gandhi, like I said, was charged with aggravated fleeing and looting, and also this the serious charge of having a tag that was unassigned.
Wait, so it's a carjacking?
Yeah, it was the car itself was carjacked, so he does have those.
He stole that car from somebody else. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You also have had a stabbing that seems to be a homeless man, stabbing a homeless man. Is that right?
Yeah, over the weekend we had an altercation in front of Waterfront Rescue Mission where one guy ended up stabbing another individual in the abdomen, and then he fled. When we got there, we got the description, which was a white male with a red beard and red hair, wearing jeans and cowboy boots.
Okay.
As you can imagine, we quickly found him in the area.
Not running shoes.
And placed him under arrest and charged him with charged him with attempted homicide.
How's the victim doing? Do we know?
At this point, it's non-life-threatening.
Okay. Well, we'll take that. You had a press conference yesterday. Kind of everybody was in this press conference, and this had to do with the two thugs who got sentenced for 30 years for shooting at DEA agents, right?
Yeah, those were two cases. We had we did have a pretty good collection of federal, state, and local law enforcement. We had at our office, at the sheriff's office, because of the size of the room, quite frankly, because we had DEA represented, we had ATF represented, we had both the state attorney and the United States attorney. Jack Heekin was there. I was there.
Yeah, because it was a federal charge, right?
It was a task force. These are task force cases.
Okay.
One was task force case, and the other one was adopted case. So, yeah, DEA was surrounded a house, and the individual fired outside at the DEA agent and then fled. We were able to pit the car and catch him. Sheriff's deputies caught him a little bit later on. And the other case was a case where it was a stolen car that hit on one of our license plate readers. One of our deputies used a pit. And then while that car, while they're spinning and while we're trying to stop them, this is the guy that they pulled a handgun and shot through their own window and into the side of the cruiser car, trying to shoot the deputy, obviously, then got out and started running with the handgun itself. The deputy, this was one of our officer-involved shootings, ended up shooting him and the canine, shooting at him, and then the canine actually got a hold of him, pretty good grip at him. So these are two dangerous felons that are now off the street, and it's about the partnerships that we have. I think it was pretty indicative of the collaboration, cooperation that we have that I haven't seen in my 40 years that we can work. If it's a gun case, we work with ATF. Drug case, we can work with DEA. We obviously have a relationship with the Pensacola Police Department, and then I think the fact that the U.S. Attorney's Office and our Attorney's Office, Ginger Madden's office, can work together and decide which one gives them the best chance of prosecution and potentially the longest sentences.
You know, as you know, one of the things we always do with Mike on Thursdays, Mike Wood from PPD, is we talk about that cop myths or, you know, whatever. And I just remember that one of the persistent ones is this notion you see in TV shows all the time. Well, that's my jurisdiction. That's my case. You're not going to take it from me. Whereas in reality, y'all basically almost fighting to give up cases in a sense just because of scarce resources, but y'all work together, right? At least now, if it were ever that way, it's not that way now, right? You guys do work together all the time on stuff.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we always, sometimes we'll have a conversation with this either started in, it doesn't necessarily matter because we have jurisdiction throughout the county, but if it started in the city of Pensacola, then we'll say, hey, why don't y'all go ahead and, you know, y'all finish it, because it makes for a better prosecution without having to change jurisdictions. But like I said, having been the Pensacola police chief for a number of years. It works better that way when you don't, when you can put your egos aside and you're, you know, you're drawing a line in the sand type, mm-hmm. of, type of thing. It works better for the community as a whole. And quite honestly, works what the bad guys are taking off the streets in Escambia County makes the city of Pensacola safer. The bad guys taking off the city of Pensacola makes the county better and safer. And to that regard, also Santa Rosa.
Right, right.
You know, because and that's why we had our chief deputy, Randy Tiff, there as well. And again, I've been in law enforcement over 40 years, and I don't think I've ever seen cooperation amongst agencies. Just to give you an idea, we were talking about the spring break in Pensacola Beach and what we can do to get people off the beach going northbound. One phone call to Rick Hawthorne in Gulf Breeze, who I've known for dozens of years. He said, yeah, we'll help. Just give us a call. No problem. I talked to the new police chief, Chief Winstrom, and said, hey, this is what we've done in the past. You think it's possible to do that again? Yes, no problem. I think that's the kind of thing that makes our community, makes it great.
Speaking of interagency cooperation, the press release yesterday actually came from FHP, but it involved you guys and a couple of other agencies as well. One of your sergeants pulled up to a truck that was stopped at Pace and Delano, and what, the guy was passed out in his truck with the car running and his foot on the brake, I guess.
That's it. The car was locked. It was running, but his foot was on the brake, and he was sleeping, unconscious, whatever, and they couldn't get him awakened. So we obviously called for FHP and
for the DUI unit,
right, and also for the EMS. And in the meantime, the sergeant
to make sure he was not in danger of dying with
right,
the,
yeah, yeah. Well, once they opened it up, and then but we didn't want him to get away, so he right. pulled, he blocked the truck's path initially, and then they were able to ascertain what he was doing. The FHP got there. I believe they determined also that he was in the country illegally, and so once he handles the DUI part of it, he's also going to be on a, you know, and answer to ICE.
Yeah, so EMS, ECSO, FHP, ICE, you got all the acronym agencies involved here, and I don't know why y'all ganged up on him so much. I mean, he was a guy who was so good at driving, he could do it in his sleep.
He wasn't doing it well.
Oh, fair enough. He just stopped. The part of that story that makes me amazed is that here's a guy who's asleep and he's still got his foot on the brake. I mean, I don't know. It struck me odd about that story. You guys had a SWAT call out last week, Pace and Belmont, speaking of Pace, with a barricaded suspect and violence warrants.
Yeah, this guy, Savion Daquan Richardson, had warrants on him. The warrants were for burglary and property damage and criminal mischief, multiple counts of criminal mischief, a warrant for firing a weapon, aggravated battery, domestic violence, additional weapons offense, and also possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. So we had all those warrants that we knew of. And then our people in our warrant section did a good job of trying to find him. And then they as we say, we put him at that location. So we decided early in the morning, Thursday, Friday morning, we decided to knock on the door, and we were able to ascertain by people in the area that he was, in fact, in that little apartment, townhouse-like type thing. So we surrounded it, obviously, and we broke out our what we call our Rook, which is a modified
like a bobcat right?
type tractor with ballistic characteristics, right? But it also has a front, and you could put a boom on it, a hydraulic boom, so we can quite easily take down a door and a window, and we did. And we decided that, okay, enough is enough. We can put a flashbang in there. We put gas in there. He was able to, I guess, withstand the gas, and then we went inside and picked him up. So now he's also charged with a number of different things to include resisting our efforts. And he has, you know, we put out there, but he has an extensive criminal history. This is not someone that's, you know, a tag, not a sign type of the thing. This is something very serious that we bring the SWAT team out for and our Rook out. He had 10 prior misdemeanors and 7 prior felony convictions.
Jeez.
From battery, burglary, aggravated assault, aggravated battery, drug offenses, weapons violations. This is a guy that we were really wanting to get off the street.
Yeah.
To the point where we weren't going to leave that particular apartment until we had him in our hands.
Yeah, some people have done so much, and here I am, haven't even caught a felony charge yet, you know? So some people they've earned their response. I'll just put it that way, which is serious.
That you get what you get.
Yes, that's right. You also have people who may not be stars in the next Italian Job caper. Two men caught for stealing copper in Cantonment. that were apprehended because of a, well, I'll let you tell it, a funny misjudgment, let's just say.
Well, and I will tell you, over the years, I've been watching these crime dramas, and I'll tell whoever I'm with, whether it's my kids or my wife, and I'll say, that's not how it happens. There's no way that you can find a cigarette butt, and it's just not that easy. Well,
then again, these
guys have stolen some copper, and they were on video stealing this copper. So our keen deputies get there.
Thousands of dollars worth of copper.
Oh, a lot. Yeah, this is a lot of copper. And so we have pictures of these guys, and I was like, got to try to identify them. And they, well, maybe this route right here that they may have taken. So the deputy finds a warm cup that had coffee in it. And they say, you know, this looks like the coffee cup from the store down the street. So they go to a store down the street and look at their videos and not just see the people, the same people wearing the same clothes, buying the coffee and putting the creamer and such in there.
Uh-huh.
And I made it the creamer part. I don't know what they had.
Whatever.
Like their coffee, you know, it's,
maybe,
you know,
they're sweet and low people.
Who knows?
I don't know.
It's not. But anyway, so, and then we also were able to ascertain the truck they were driving, the tag, and then we got, anyways, long story short, we ended up catching these highly caffeinated thieves.
Well, look, you know, you got to be on your A game when you're stealing copper. You know, you can't afford to be drowsy.
Doesn't it make you, I'm not a coffee drinker per se. Doesn't it make you a little jittery? You know, shouldn't you probably be calm?
On what is the old rule? Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And, you know, if you're jittery, that makes you bad. Yeah. You also had a skull found in Fence Line Road, but it turns out it's an old case. You're not worried about it being foul play.
Well, I think the case is over a dozen years old. It was more than a skull. It was a skeleton to include a skull. But there's no foul play at this point.
Found by a citizen? Tell.
Yeah, a passerby along the fence line. And it looked like it had been there for, again, a dozen
years
or so, a long time. So we're going back, looking at some of our missing persons and trying to get some resolution to a family member.
I still just think, as a citizen walking along and finding, you know, any of that kind of stuff, it's got to be pretty distressing or weird at the very least. Oh, what happened in Molino? You got grilled at this, like, town hall. I mean, fierce questions. Do you have cop friends? Do you have special food you eat on duty?
The Cub Scouts can be a little brutal at times.
They might ask anything.
Yeah. So apparently, and I love this, that they, to get one of their badges, they have to talk to an elected official.
Oh, all right.
Which I think it works great. It gives a question and answer.
Yeah,
it also gives them a sense for civic, you know, engagement. And so this is the second time, and I get questions. Grilled, exactly. What exactly do you eat? What exactly, you know, because I thought it was a donut joke, and it wasn't. These kids weren't even old enough to really
get
understand
that context.
The donut part. But one of them talking was, you know, do we name the villains? Do we give them nicknames, or they picking themselves?
Name themselves.
I guess it's a...
Charm Never Fails is not your assigned name. That's that dude's name.
Yeah,
right?
Well, so, it's one of those things. They watch TV. They watch superheroes, and they see Viper and whatever. Whoever these bad guys are. I don't even know.
Black Mamba. So, speaking of more lighthearted things, I did manage to come across an investigative piece that your people did. What did Sheriff Simmons look like in the 1990s?
Yeah.
And I have a picture here of a slightly more chiseled, but, you know, not much, Sheriff Simmons with a mustache and a kind of scruffy-looking beard. Mustache. Yeah, yeah. And I won't quite call it a short long, but it's definitely not the current hairdo. There was a montage of pictures. Was this meant to scare people or humanize you?
I don't know. I can tell you that there were some pictures that they didn't get a hold of. But it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we showed it. I think that it shows most of the 90s. I was in narcotics.
Yeah, this is under. So I figured this is UC stuff, right? This is undercover
because
stuff.
Because most people now, that, I mean, for years they haven't seen me with any facial hair at all.
Right, right.
And almost all the pictures that they showed, I had a goatee or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something along those lines. I don't know, man. It's these trends. You got to get involved in some, and you got to draw a line on others.
Well, I don't want to connect the dots too much here, but there was this on Facebook, and then there was also the warning that ugly cops will arrest you if you're on the beach. And you made out like it wouldn't be you. I'm not sure how to take all that. But
well, we were going, you know, we check out the beach.
The signboard actually said this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was our signboard. I said, who did that? I said, and I made the joke. I said, I guess I can't go making your arrest on the beach.
Because you promised them only ugly cops would arrest them.
Yeah, I can't do it. And again, in good fun. But apparently it's a thing. I don't even know. It's not something they made up on their own. It was related to something else.
Okay.
My point.
All right.
Anyway, so we we want to be serious about the beach, but we also
the threat worked because the beach has been quiet, right?
It's been this past weekend. Of course, the weather helped us on Sunday, but and we have plenty of deputies out there, and we'll have plenty more this weekend.
Scared of ugly cops and bearded former undercover agents.
I don't think
agents.
We really have any ugly cops. If you look at it,
nice pivot.
Yeah, there you go.
Sheriff Simmons is
because I don't want our deputies not to make an arrest because it'll be them. So you're the one.
Yeah, you're bringing the average down.
Yeah.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Simmons, thanks as always for the time, sir. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.